Good to see each of you. You're lucky to see me. I almost got taken away in a whirlwind when I walk off. I didn't even bother with the hairspray this morning. I just let it go like it is. But it's good to see everybody here this morning. I have a couple announcements before we pray. Please remember that I will not be here tomorrow or Tuesday. I will be in St. Louis at the Missouri Baptist Convention, taking care of denominational business on our behalf. And I just wanted to let you know that. Also, I wanted to let you know that not starting this week, but a week from this coming Wednesday, I'm going to start having a coffee brunch lunch thing down at the Senior Citizen Seat every Wednesday. So you can come have lunch with the pastor. We can pray together. We can talk about things. You can ask questions. It's not going to be a formal teaching or anything like that. It's just sitting down and talking and sharing life together. So I want to invite you all that. It'll be starting 1 week from this coming Wednesday at 11:30. Boy, my accent just went off of Royal. 11:30 at the Senior Citizen Center down here in Odessa. So please take mind of that. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this beautiful day, Lord. We thank you in advance for the rains that come and we need it. Lord, we just pray that you will bless each person here, each family, by the worship, by the songs, by the word that will be proclaimed. Father, you are our God and we give you all the honor and glory that you alone deserve. We thank you and ask that you be with the rest of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, praise team. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come now to learn from your word. And Father, we just pray that you will accept our sacrifice of praise. Lord, we pray that you will bless the reading of your word and for each person to take something from it, Lord, that will help strengthen them and help encourage them, Lord, to live out their faith every day. Lord, I ask that you take me from this and just let your word and spirit speak for themselves through this. And in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, many of y'all know I've had a few mechanical problems with my car the last few days. And it's got me to thinking, you know, if I have an engine and it's not working right, it's not running at all, and I tinker with it, you know, I play with a carburetor, I take that sponge thing off, you know, like with a lawnmower soaked in oil and gasoline, and I press that little bulb 1,000 times, and it still won't crank. Well, I know that I can't handle it. So I take it to a friend of mine who's a mechanic. Well, the mechanic looks at it, and he says, well, I can get it running, but I can't get it running the way it should. So we ask, what can we do? Well, we need to take it to a better mechanic. And we take it to a mechanic who is trained in this type of engine, who has every tool necessary to make this kind of engine work. He has the voltmeters and the spanners and the socket wrenches and all kind of little doodads that look like spiders that I don't even know what is. And he works on that engine. And because of his, and I don't want to say greatness, but because of his skill and the purpose that he was sent for, he was able to do what the first mechanic and myself certainly could not do. And the engine is running fine. It's doing what it's supposed to do. Well, that is kind of an analogy to what we're going to be talking about. Do you remember last week when we talked about in Hebrews Jesus being the apostle and the high priest of our confession? Well, the Jewish people had priests. They were from the tribe of Levi. They were from the descendants of Aaron, technically. And they did the work that God had told them to do. And they did the sacrifices and they covered up many sins, but they could not, by nature of what they were, take away the sins. Someone greater had to come. But that's unusual for us because we see that Jesus was not in the priestly family. He was not of the tribe of Levi. He was not a descendant of Aaron. He was the descendant of David from the tribe of Judah. He could not technically, by the law, be a priest under the old covenant. However, he is our high priest. So there has to be something there that makes him the high priest, a much greater, if not the only and greatest high priest that makes intercession for us day and night at the right hand of God the Father, who stands for us when we are accused by Satan before God, who gives us what we need by virtue of his priesthood to to be made right with God. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. And I'll be reading out of the King James. Hebrews 5, 1 through 10. And it says this: "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." He's speaking, the writer of Hebrews is speaking about the men, the Levites, the earthly priests. Now, we're switching to Jesus, verse 5. "So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh," now this is Jesus, "who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek." Now, automatically we see, yes, Jesus could not be a Levitical priest, but he was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And we're going to break that open here in just a few minutes. And imagine again, we said about the engine. Imagine you got an old 76 Impala. How many of y'all had an old 76 Impala? Boy, that was a smooth riding vehicle when they first come out. Had the Naugahyde seats. Y'all know what Naugahyde is? Young people, do you know what Naugahyde is? It's like this fake synthetic leather that when it sweated in the summer, you stuck to the seats and you had to have a crowbar to pick you off of. That's Naugahyde. Well, you see, that car that my family had needed a mechanic that the shade tree mechanic that we had in the town couldn't handle. So my dad had to ship it off to someone who was better and greater and knew what they were doing. It had electric this and computerized that back when it first started coming like that. You see, the old way, the old mechanic, even though he was doing what he knew how to do, he could not fix it completely. That was the scene. The Jewish priest, under the old covenant, did what God told them to do. They offered the sacrifices and covered the sins, and they kept the law to the best of their ability. Yes, there were some crooked, we understand that. But for the most part, they did what God had called them to do. But they could not do it all. They could not take away the sin. A greater priest had to come. And that, my friends, is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A new mechanic comes along, thoroughly trained. He can not only get it running, but he can get us running to our maximum potential. We can be what God intended us to be only through Jesus Christ. We can try our best, but we're going to sputter. We're going to backfire. Some of us backfire a lot more than others. And brothers and sisters, it's not necessary. Because the greatest high priest, the greatest mechanic, the great physician is there for us if we believe in faith. Oh yes, Jesus is much more than any old mechanic. He knows how to fix what is wrong with us and what is wrong with us. Sin and self. We sin, first of all, because we were born to sin, because all have fell. But you see, we sin mostly because of self. Instead of focused on God and others, which the Bible commands us to do, we focus on ourselves. And when we focus on ourselves, pride, greed, lust, all those things come in, and they need to be fixed. As we said, under the old covenant, the Old Testament priest did and do God what had appointed them to do. But God far along had planned the ultimate fix for what was broken in our souls. Brothers and sisters, we all know that without Christ, everything in our souls is pretty much broken. Do we have to teach, and I've used this example 1,000 times, do you have to teach a child to tell a lie? Do you have to teach a child to do something bad? They kind of just do it. All of us have been there. That's because of the sin nature, the brokenness inside us that can only be corrected by Jesus Christ. As we said last week in Hebrews 3:1, we see the apostle and high priest. What does it mean for Jesus to be our high priest? First of all, the writer of Hebrews, verses 1 through 4 in chapter 5, gave us a look at a generic high priest, the earthly, the Levitical high priest, and we figure out what they do and what they did and what they were. First, they were ordained and set apart for the things of God. When you dedicate yourself or you are called by God to do things pertaining to Him, your life must be focused on Him. It is very difficult to be a minister of the gospel, to be a pastor, to be a preacher, when you have 10,000 things pulling at you to keep your focus off. And some of it is yourself, but some of it's the enemy. Some of it's the devil. And he doesn't want you to do your job. He wants you to be focused on anything but God. But a priest is ordained or set apart for the things of God. A priest also offers sacrifices and gifts to God from men because of sin. Now, obviously, I don't bring a goat up here and cut its throat, or I don't have turtle doves or a bull or anything like that, okay, to offer as sacrifices for sin. We don't do that anymore under the new covenant. Where is our sacrifice taken care of? On the cross. Once and for all, it was done. But yet, we still offer sacrifices of prayer for people. We still intercede on people's behalf. They say, would you pray for me? Absolutely. That is the royal priesthood that we as Christians are a part of. That's part of our calling. So a priest offers sacrifices and gifts to God. And a priest can understand men's infirmities because they themselves are men. You see, we don't worship a God that wasn't a man. Now that sounds kind of strange, but let me explain that. God has always existed, but He became man so that He could redeem His creation. Brothers and sisters, well, let me put it to you this way. Ladies, okay? You just had a baby. And you're going through what every woman goes through after a child. Now, you need comfort. You need prayer. You need care. What would you rather have? An old redneck farmer come up to you and go, hey, I know what you're feeling. No, you don't! Or would you have someone that has been there, has experienced that, and can come alongside you, a lady of the church who loves you? Men, we have the same thing in our situations. It's always better to have someone who knows what you have been through. And Jesus Christ knows what we have been through because He was man. And He still is man. He's just a glorified man, but He's also glorified God. He's that... I'm going to use a $5 seminary word on you. He's what we call that hyperstatic union. What that is He's all God, He's all man, and sometimes we don't understand that, but it's the truth. And we believe it by faith. A general priest must offer sacrifice also for himself due to his own sins. Imagine if you had a pastor who wasn't saved. Imagine if you had someone come up to me and try to offer help or assistance, and they didn't know what they were doing. How damaging can that be? How strange can that be? No, a priest had to be there. And Jesus, as being man, now a perfect and sinless man, let's not go down that path, but He was tempted in every way, like every other man. Some things were recorded, some things were not, but the Bible tells us that He was tempted in every way as every man is. He knows what we've been through. He knows what we're going through, and He knows what we're going to go through. And He gives us what we need. He gives us what we need to get through life. And lastly, a general priest is selected and called by God, as was every one of us in here were called by God. And we responded in repentance and faith, those of us who believe. We love because He first loved us. And He loved us so much that the Bible tells us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Brothers and sisters, you know how much love that takes? That takes even more love than you have for your children. To love you to such a point that you would die for someone who is evil. Wicked. But that evil and wicked person must believe. must repent and have faith and believe. Well, that's what a general priest does. These duties and functions succinctly describe the function of a high priest. Yet, in this we see that the Jewish priests were called from the tribe of Levi, and the high priests were from the family of Aaron. That's what it says, and God was called just as Aaron was. Under the old covenant, only particular men from a particular tribe of Levi and the family of Aaron were to be priests unto God. No one else. In fact, if you read some of the narratives in the Old Testament, there was this one time where one of the kings of Judah decided they were going to go into the temple and offer a sacrifice themselves because the priest wouldn't show up or the prophet wouldn't show up. No. Only the priest were allowed to do that. And he suffered because of it. Well, we know that Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, is our high priest. We know this. But he is not a tribe or from Aaron. How does he then qualify to be the high priest of our confession? Because he is called under a different priesthood than the Old Testament describes. An older priesthood that predates the Mosaic Law. Now, we'll get into that. Let me reread verse 5 here. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that saith unto him, Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save from death and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, it says, though he were a son. Remember last week we talked about the son is greater than the servant. We talked about how Jesus was greater than Moses because although Moses was a faithful servant, he was still a servant. But Jesus is the son. Well, in his humanity, Jesus learned to be obedient through suffering. Now, isn't that different from us nowadays? We want to run away as far away as we can from suffering. We don't want anything to do with suffering. And brothers and sisters, that's normal for people. Nobody wants to get hurt. Nobody wants to suffer. But sometimes we learn things through suffering. I learned not to put my foot in a fire ant bed because I suffered. Some of y'all laughed, some of you didn't. I learned what to say and what not to say because I said the wrong thing at the wrong time. And I suffered because of it. You learn through suffering. Now, before we look into Jesus' offers within this order of the priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, we need to look into that man briefly, Melchizedek. He's mentioned in Genesis 14, 18 through 20, and he is described as a priest to the Most High God. What? There weren't any Jews around yet. There was Abraham's family. You know, God was with them, obviously. Where did this guy get this knowledge of God? Brothers and sisters, we don't need to strain over that. You know, when Noah, after the flood and his family, they broke up, and after the Tower of Babel, where people were grouped by their languages, they spread out. But the knowledge of God remained. So there were people worshiping God. In fact, you can go into history and you can see, especially in Eastern countries, that for a long time they worshiped the God of heaven. They even had special temples built. Now they broke it down and it became syncretistic with other pagan religions. But in the very beginning, they had knowledge of God. Now, it's not listed in the Bible. That's just archaeological and historical fact. However, it is not surprising that people in that area still had a knowledge of God. So we don't need to worry about Melchizedek. We must only believe what God says, that he was a priest to the Most High God. And he went out to meet, he was still Abram at the time, or Abram. And he had just fought a war with the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and a few other places. Well, Melchizedek shows up and he blesses Abram and God. And in fact, he did it in such a way that Abram at that time gave tithes unto Melchizedek. He gave him gifts. Why? Because he was a priest to the Most High God. And they offered sacrifices and they worshiped together. And then suddenly he disappears. And he does not mention again until the Psalms. And I'll get to that in just a second. He blesses. He was, in fact, a priest chosen in a special way by God for a special purpose, just as Jesus was for his priestly role. The writer of Hebrews takes passages from Psalm 2:7. That's where he says, "Thou art my son, today that I have forgotten thee." And he takes from Psalm 110:4, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." In this way, the writer links Jesus between his position as Son of God and his position as high priest in a different order, not the Levitical Aaronic order. It is after the order of Melchizedek. A different priestly office. A higher priestly office, as it were, because it predated the law and the Levitical priesthood. But I want to get back now off of Melchizedek and back onto Jesus. Jesus qualified himself as high priest of our confession by his actions. How? Well, let's start, first of all, with his status as being the only begotten Son of God. You really can't go past that. He is God incarnate, the Word made flesh. In him, we have our hope and our being and our actual breath, our heartbeat. Everything was made by him, for him, and through him. He is our God. He's God the Son. But he also met some moral qualifications. And this is listed in this text in Hebrews. He qualified himself by prayers. Now, does a high priest pray? It says in verse 7 of Hebrews 5 that Jesus prayed. So he gave prayers. The second, he qualified himself by agony and tears. Again in verse 7. He suffered in his praying, in his position, in his office. Why did he have to suffer? He was the Son of God. You remember in the garden when they came to get him and poor old Malchus was there and Peter chopped off Malchus's ear and Jesus healed him and he told him, put away the sword. He wanted to complete the will of God. And second, he loved us. He loved us that would believe on his name. And he had just prayed that. If you read John in the prayer of Gethsemane, he said, pray not only teachings. So he prayed for us in tears and agony. And he qualified himself by faith in him who is able to save. Who saves? God saves through Christ. But when Christ was a man, he knew that God had him in the palm of his hands. That's why he went to him in the garden. That's why he prayed, Father, if this could be done, that was his manhood coming out. He didn't want to have to go things, but by George, so he had faith in him who was able to save. And then lastly, he qualified himself by his obedience. Verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by things which he suffered. The Son of God was obedient. Obedient unto death. And that death was on a cross. The worst way you can die. It's even more horrible than burning to death. You know, you burn to death, it's horrible, but it's relatively quick compared to a cross, where there would be days upon days of agony sometimes. So in this moral combat that he had on this earth, that means fighting against those things which pull us away from God, Jesus qualified himself to be the source of eternal salvation to all who have faith in him by his example of obedience, and thus became what God had appointed him to be, the high priest of our confession. Because it is Jesus who makes intercession for us as our high priest. You see, we have this mystery in Christianity. When we become saved, when we repent and we believe, Christ through the Holy Spirit enters us. And we enter Christ. So just as Christ is with us here on earth, we're with Him seated in the heavenlies. So when He's making intercession for us before the Father, we're there with Him. That's hard for us to understand with our finite minds and our five senses and not having a seed of the eternal. But once that seed of the eternal gets planted in us through the Holy Spirit, it becomes very easy to understand the hope of glory, Christ in us. It's amazing. He is our apostle and high priest. And here's the kicker. Although He was the Son of God and the owner and builder of the house, as we talked about last week, as well as the source of eternal salvation, He had to learn obedience through suffering. We've been talking about this, but just think about that. His sonship did not eliminate Him from going through what every man and every woman must bear. The weight of sin. Now, it was not His sin that He bore the weight of. It was our sin. You know, if you have your own sin, you can't take on the sin of someone else. But if you have sin, you can take on the sin of someone else. And since He was God, He was infinite, and He could take on an infinite amount of sin, all the sin that we have committed, all the sin for which we have been forgiven, all the sin which is taken away as far as the east from the west, all the sin that mankind must endure. He endured it, He faced it, and He conquered it. And He conquered it through His obedience, including death on a cross. He knows us because He became like us so that we might be like Him. Don't you want to be like Christ, brothers and sisters? Don't you want to have the love and the mercy and the forgiveness? Oh, Lord, I do. Now, I know I will not be made perfect until I am with God, glorified in heaven forever and ever. But right now, our focus needs to be on Christ. And when we focus on Christ, all the other stuff falls into place. Since He became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Think about that. He's source of eternal salvation for those that obey Him. What does that mean? It means to obey Him, to believe on the name in whom God has sent. What is it to do the will of God? To believe on Him who He has sent. And since He is the source of all salvation for those who obey Him, we must always remember that it is through obedience, repentance, faith, living our lives, that we obtain and embrace Him as the source of all life. It is through our obedience to His desire for us to believe in Him, to take on Him, to have Him pay the debt that only a man can pay, because it is only man who has sinned. We believe in Him. He is the source of life. It is by grace we're saved through faith, and this not of ourselves. It's the gift of God given through His Son, Jesus Christ, to whom belongs all praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. But brothers and sisters, what about those who choose to disobey Him? How many of y'all caught my pastor's minute this week? Some of you did. We took a passage out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. This is for those who disobey the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Boy, they don't preach that much on TV, do they? You see, when we obey the Lord, when we believe in Him, we have faith in Him, when we do what He has taught us to do. You remember when the disciples were told, go and baptize everyone in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, but He also added to teach them everything which I have commanded, which is to love the Lord with everything you are. And if you rebel and reject and go against Him, what I just read is what's in store. Brothers and sisters, I hate that. I hate the fact that God gave His very blood so that we might be with Him and with each other forever and ever and ever. And there are people that are so caught up in the here and now, and their little bit of alcohol, their little bit of drugs, their little bit of adultery, their little bit of blasphemy, their little bit of whatever. They would rather spend eternity judged by the mighty angels in flaming fire, it says. Those of that say, well, hell's not mentioned in the Bible. Those folks ain't never cracked open a Bible. But folks, let us not be those who disobey. Let us be those who obey the apostle and the high priest of our confession. And when we are blessed. Thus our high priest, our Jesus Christ, is the only source of eternal life, of reconciliation to God, to those who obey Him, as we said. What is it to do the will of God but to believe on Him who has sent? We've already said that, but it's true. And the one sent, the apostle. We've been talking about the high priest, but since he's the apostle and the high priest, the apostle is the one who is sent with a message from God. He is Jesus Christ. Not only the apostle and high priest, but the author and finisher of our faith. And on Him, we have all of our trust. Today, if you hear His voice, respond to it. What holds us back, brothers and sisters? Pride? Naked came I out of the womb, and naked I'm going to return to the earth. You know, when you're laying in that box, and the funeral home people are saying words over you up under those clothes, you're still naked as a jaybird. And when you're born, ask your mama, you was naked as a jaybird. And everything in between is guided by the Lord God who gave us our life. What holds us back? A favorite sin? What is worth eternity? I don't know how many times I've talked to folks. I'd go to church and I'd love, but there's this one little thing. And sometimes it's not something we might think. Sometimes it's an emotion. It's anger. It's bitterness. I don't like brother so-and-so. I've actually had people tell me, if brother so-and-so is getting to heaven, I don't want to go there. How foolish that is. You want to spend eternity tormented, separated from God and all love, because of a little sin that you like? Now, yes, we can sin as Christians, but if we are faithful, if we confess our sin and repent of that sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And the whole point is we don't want to do that anymore. That's not part of us. But if there's something that you want to do, that you keep doing, and I don't care what God, the Bible, a preacher, or anybody else tells me, I'm going to do what I want. Brothers and sisters, please, if you have that attitude, pray that God will show you the truth. And when He shows you the truth, that truth will set you free. And you will be free of all this garbage that the world is trying to throw at us. Or do you have an unwillingness to give your all to Him who gave His all for you? Don't listen to the enemy. Well, I've given enough, Pastor. I've done my whole life. You're breathing, aren't you? You can still do more. It might not be but praying. It might not be but encouraging, but it's something. As long as you've got breath, God has a purpose for you. Don't give in to the pride or the selfish silence. If God is moving you today to act on something that He's putting in your heart today, do it. Today, if we hear His voice, we must act, not like in the days of rebellion at the waters of Meribah. We talked about that last week. If God is moving you today, then happily embrace Him in faith and love. Because brothers and sisters, once you close your eyes on this side, He's all you got on the other. And you ain't promised tomorrow. I don't like preaching on emotionalism. I don't want to scare you into heaven because you can't. But I'm telling you the truth. Just as much as there's goodness and righteousness and mercy and forgiveness, there's also justice and real righteousness. And if we don't meet God's standard, we will pay with our own eternity. But thanks be to God that we keep that righteous standard through Jesus Christ, the apostle and high priest of our confession. So brothers and sisters, right now, if God's moving you, come to Him. Come to Jesus and let Him fill you with life. Not anger, not bitterness, not death, not wanting, not covetousness, not immorality, but life. He created you. He loves you and He is willing to forgive you no matter what you've done. He waits for you. He waits for you here. He'll wait for you when we dismiss. He'll wait for you as long as you have breath. respond in faith while you can. Respond today and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you do that, you will not only listen to the apostle, but which you will be covered by the blood of our high priest, Jesus Christ. Praise team.